This week, we've got sex and dragons and superheroes.
Oh my.
That's right. We are giving you our reactions to the Spider-Man and Game of Thrones trailers, plus our thoughts on the controversy over female-only Wonder Woman screenings this weekend. No dudes allowed.
Also, we're talking hype songs. What song do you listen to get motivated? We'll share ours.
And we're paying a visit to the House of Hyperbole with my ode to the sultriest, most sensual, sexiest sex scene on TV ever.
Ooh, is it hot in here?
Mm-hmm.
All of that plus Sofia Coppola becomes the second woman to win Best Director at Cannes. And the big sell, all ahead on Inside Pop. Hey everyone, welcome to Inside Pop. I'm Amita Patel.
And I'm Sean David Johnson. We have a ton of stuff to discuss, so let's get started with a trailer roundup. Amita, once again, I think you alerted me to this. How was I not present for the moment when Game of Thrones released a trailer? But they did. I saw it. What do you think of it?
It's funny because I'm just like, Game of Thrones is a trailer. You're like, what? It's like the world has stopped. I love it. It's just, they did everything that I needed for Game of Thrones to get me back into it and ready for when it comes out in mid-July, because they showed every single character that I love, you know, Cersei and Jaime and Tyrion and Theon and Arya and like Jon Snow. It's like everybody, they give you everybody, and then there's these epic battles and of course a dragon. So it's everything that I want to know, and I'm all over it. I can't wait.
Cersei Lannister has got 99 problems. That's what this trailer has taught me. Cersei Lannister,
yes,
has got 99 problems, and a dragon is one or three. <She's>
Yeah. I mean, it comes out on July 16th. I am so raring for this.
Yeah, I think, and it broke a record, right? I think, or it seems like every time a new trailer comes out, some record is broken. But wasn't it something like 61 million views in 24 hours? Something crazy like that.
So crazy.
Yeah, the world is chomping at the bit. I think the fact that it was, you know, it usually comes out in March or April. The fact that we've had to wait another 4 or 5 months has just made us all in a bigger frenzy. And I'm going to say this. Last season was my favorite season of Game of Thrones. And at least judging from this trailer, this next season is going to be just as good. These executive producers are master storytellers, and they've actually earned our trust and our faith. They've really never missed a beat. I feel like they're the J.K. Rowling of fantasy television, right? Where J.K. Rowling, even the most rabid Harry Potter fans, they were never disappointed in all seven of those books. And I think that Benioff and Weiss are doing the same thing.
Agreed.
No one is ever disappointed. So sign me up. Amita, please throw a premiere party. I'll be there July 16th.
You're just doing everything you can for me to throw a party in my apartment.
You really need to. That's another conversation.
The only request I would say is that if every episode could be directed by Miguel Sapochnik, I'd be just a pig in mud. I would think that would be the best thing ever, because he directs usually the penultimate episode of every season, and he did my favorite episode, Battle of the Bastards. And so he should just direct all of the last two seasons, in my opinion. That's my only note.
Praise be to him. Okay, so the other trailer that has us and many others excited is the latest trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming. And I watched that diligently a number of times.
Yes.
And shout out to a coworker of ours, Eric, who suggested, okay, Sean, if you like the domestic trailer, make sure to search for the international trailer online. And I did that. Thank you, Eric. And so much more footage in that trailer. Different footage.
Yeah. I saw that too. And I was like, this is interesting. Like, why are they giving international like more than us?
That happens a lot. I'm not sure. It's funny. Eric's-
And it's also like, does it really matter? Because you could just find it all on YouTube. Like, why does it? Like...
Yeah, it's interesting. And I think Eric was making one point that it always seems like the American trailer is more about kind of explosions and fast editing, where the international trailers tend to give a little bit more plot and character. So that's an interesting observation.
What's that say about America? Jeez.
Give us big, shiny things. We like that.
And blow them up. Great.
So what did you think of Spider-Man Homecoming?
I thought it was fun. I can't wait to see this now third iteration of Spider-Man. I was there for the first and the second, guys. I've seen them all. So, and I love Spider-Man, so I'm excited to see how Tom Holland is going to take on this character. It seems like he's the youngest, most innocent-seeming Spider-Man from these trailers. And he seems like he's really funny. I love that, you know, there's a lot of Tony Stark, a.k.a. Robert Downey Jr., a.k.a. Iron Man, featured in here. And I think that's going to be a great dynamic. So, yeah. And Michael Keaton, villain.
As a villain. The Vulture. Not to be confused with Birdman.
But Michael's got some type of theme going right
but
now.
But similar. Yes. Yeah. Well, I have to say this, his cameo in the last Captain America film and these trailers have me back on board, because I actually checked out when the second iteration of Spider-Man came around. Even though I really like Andrew Garfield and Emma Watson,
Emma Stone.
Oh, Emma Stone, thanks. But yeah, you know what? Guess what, though? I also like Emma Watson.
So I know you do. I know, me too.
I also like Kate Upton. Anyway, I do feel excitement for this next installment. I felt like that second installment, it just felt like money. Sony creating another Spider-Man just to maintain hold of the rights. This one just feels like the timing's right. Okay, now we're ready for a younger Spider-Man to be connected to the Avengers. So I'm quite excited, and I expect myself to be in the theater to see it.
Yes, same here. I will say the most exciting part of this is the little glimpse of the one line from one of my favorite people, Donald Glover. Didn't know that he was in this. Loved that he's in this. He's winning.
Yeah, I don't know who he plays, but he...
It seems like it might even just be like a short thing.
Yeah, but...
but I don't care.
Well, because you know, the backstory is that there was a point when a lot of people were excited that he might be the next Spider-Man, because in the comics there is a Spider-Man of color, and there were thoughts that, oh, maybe it'll be Donald Glover. The studio decided not to go in that direction, so I think this was a pretty big wink to fans saying, yep, we know you didn't get Donald Glover Spider-Man, but we are going to put him in this film as a little homage to what might have been.
Then he's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
He can do no wrong to me, guys. He cannot.
We love Donald Glover on this show.
Yes. And yeah, and I will see him and Tom Holland and Spider-Man and everybody on July 7th. I might go opening day. I kind of have to. I'm excited.
Do it.
All right. Well, as we said earlier in our intro, we wanted to kind of discuss a new way of talking about some music that has defined the two of us. And this time we want to talk about a hype song. About a couple months ago, I was really stressed at work and I needed something to get me energized, kind of just in the mood. And I needed a hype song. It's like a song that just like makes you feel invincible, makes you strut down the street, makes you own it. Yes, it is something I've used in the past to get me going if I'm tired, stressed. And it's one of those songs that always works. I'm sure the more that you were listening to me describe this, the more that you could probably figure this out. What is your hype song? So we wanted to share ours. And for me, I think it's just going to, it kind of always reverts to something in hip hop. I think, you know, those beats, you know, a good rap, it just definitely hypes me up. Like I need to just like, you know, head nodding, fist pumping type of stuff. So All of the Lights by Kanye West featuring Rihanna and Kid Cudi and like a million other people.
Good one.
That is like probably, I mean, I didn't want to number them, but I think that is my number one, because no matter when I need to put it on and I put it on, that's it. Weirdly enough, it became my hype song during a very stressful work project like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, maybe. And it stuck. And I think one of the reasons I love it is because it heavily features the French horn, which, true story, I used to play. So I think I kind of like clued into that. And then it's just such a great driving song.
Okay, so. I need video of you playing the French horn, like little teenager me that playing the French horn.
That's not cute. That's not cute. We don't need that.
Okay, so give me another one, Amita. So let me give you a scenario. So, you know, you're waking up and you know that you have a stressful day of work ahead of you. What's another song that you're going to play to just kind of get yourself hyped up?
Oh, last week, I mean, truth be told, I think you all may have heard that Sean and I are working on a pretty stressful project right now. For work. And I found myself a couple times just needing to tune out the room and get hyped, and Humble by Kendrick Lamar has been giving me life for sure.
A new one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been added to the list. I think that's kind of what I inspired this discussion, really.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. And like my cousin also loves to play it. And every time he plays it, we both just like look each other across the room and we're like, yes. Humble. Like, it's great. Yeah.
A.
Right.
A.
Be humble.
A.
Sit down. Okay, sorry. I'm getting hyped up just talking about the hype up songs. And the next one would be Beyonce Flawless, because if you're just anybody, but if you're a woman and you just need something to kind of pick you up, just wake up flawless. That's all you need to do.
Yeah, it's become such a catchphrase and such a, but that one word is so empowering. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I woke up like this. Yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I actually, for a very long time, I had it as my alarm. If I needed to set an alarm on my phone, it would be flawless to wake me up. And that's really good. It's a good way to wake up, guys. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, even if we can, because it's so hard to think of oneself as flawless. But even if in those 3 minutes, if you can believe that, it's empowering. It feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, do you have any hype songs? You know, like when you're stressed out or you just need some type of pick me up.
I do. I have a ton, but the two I want to talk about are very different. So. Golden by Jill Scott is one type of hype song I like. I feel like for me, that's a very inward hype song, isn't it? It's such a good song.
Yes.
And it's all about the lyrics, because it really is just about owning your happiness, commanding mm-hmm. your joy. And, you know, I'm taking my freedom, wearing it around my neck. It's just, yes. It's just the most positive self-loving song that I know, and the beat's great and the music's uplifting, and Jill Scott just delivers it with such joy. So when I feel like I need to give myself a little bit more confidence, when I need to feel like I need to energize myself, Golden by Jill Scott, I will listen to that. I will hum it to myself and try to embody everything that song teaches us to do.
Oh, that's such a good one. That's a great strut down the street song. Like if you're even, especially on a rainy day, play that. You'll still feel good in just any day if you play Golden by Jill Scott. That's a great choice. I'm going to cop that too, because that's a good one.
It comes naturally. That's so good.
Living my life like it's golden. Okay, now I'm going to get hyped on Golden.
Yes, everyone should. Check it out on Spotify, y'all. Golden by Jill Scott. If you haven't heard it ever, or if you haven't heard it in a while, definitely listen to it. So another hype song I have, again, it's my getting ready to face the day, is a song by R.E.M. And so this is a little literal, because the title of the song is Finest Work Song. But like most R.E.M. lyrics, the lyrics are very vague. But there's something very, again, in a very different way, empowering. It's the kind of the jangly guitar and a really hard drum beat. And Michael Stipe, in so many of his songs, just kind of gives this kind of howl, this yawp, which just feels like a kind of a call to arms. And so it's very empowering for me in a different way, and it kind of gets me up and makes and gets me feeling like I can do stuff.
I'm gonna, yeah, it's what you need. It's what right. you need.
I can do
That's
stuff.
That's the point of this.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so we've talked about getting hyped for work, but Amita, sometimes we have to get hyped for life outside of work. So we also want to talk about hype songs that we play before we're about to go out and partay.
Oh, yeah. You That's
feel me.
It's so important, especially and coming off of this past weekend. I had a great time. I had a lot of family in town. It was so fun. But like, you have a long day, you're doing things, you're just hanging out. And like the daytime, you might be just like chilling, hanging out on a rooftop, having some drinks or whatever. But then you need to like really just turn it up so that you can be ready to go out. And I would have to say Click by Kanye and Jay-Z and Big Sean. That one always gets, that's it. You just play it, that opening beat, and you know, ain't nobody messing with my mother. Click. Like, it's great. Like, it's so good. And it just gets me, that definitely hypes me up to go out, especially because you're going out with a bunch of people. That's your mm-hmm. click. Then mm-hmm. you just like, everybody can get hyped. And then another Kanye Jay-Z collaboration, Niggas in Paris, Pardon My French. Yes, thank you. That opening bit, it just, everybody I know will get hyped as soon as they hear that first like four bars. You're just like, yep, ready.
Amita, how much do you think it would cost us to license that as our official theme song? Because our episode needs to start with that song every week.
Every single week. Yes, it would be so good. And then the last one I would say is Jay-Z's public service announcement. It's from a few albums, like one of the earlier albums, but it was just, it's not even a full song. It's like a short piece. I think I know just about every lyric, but also that one gets me. If it's playing anytime when I am out, watch out. Like, just that I'm that girl who gets in that zone and that's it.
She is, y'all. She is.
Yes. Basically, Jay-Z, Kanye, thank you very much for hyping me whenever I need to go out. I obviously appreciate all these other rappers, but you two clearly know how to get to me.
Girl, you love some hip hop. I assume top five for you.
Yes.
Cool. Well, I've got a couple of hype songs for going out that are a little, you know, again, a little bit different. But for me, hype song to go out number one, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is Off the Wall by Michael Jackson. I will blast that song in my living room and
yes.
perform it and do my Michael Jackson early 80s dances to it. A, because again, the lyrics are, especially that one line, tonight we're going to leave that 9-to-5 on the shelf and just enjoy mm-hmm. yourself. And the way he says enjoy with those Jackson harmonies, mm-hmm. it just, like, I feel like I hear that word and then all of my burdens from the week are lifted. I feel like my chest actually opens up and I'm like, I'm moving into the weekend. And come on, that beat, Amita.
It's so good.
Ugh, come on.
It's so, so good. It's a great choice.
Okay, so Off the Wall, Michael Jackson. Life ain't so bad at all when you're living off the wall. Wise words. So thank you, Michael, for that amazing hype song.
Yes.
And then for my second one, Amita, I want to share a little SDJ history.
I love it.
Back in the day when I was a single man in New York City, tearing it up, I would listen to Janet Jackson's Anytime, Anyplace, which is a Ooh. Fucking sexy song.
Yes.
Okay, so I would listen to the song and also the video. Everyone needs to do themselves a favor and pull the blinds and watch this video, because it is really, I think, one of Janet's sexiest videos. But I would actually listen to this song and just say to all the boys in New York City, watch out, because I am leaving my house and I'm going to find you. And you might be like passed out on the couch like Janet in the video after I'm done with you. So it was kind of my, like, I'm going out and I'm going to score hype song anytime, anyplace. So there's a little SDJ history for all y'all.
Oh, my God. Oh, gosh. Anytime, anyplace. That's such a hot song. It really is. I love it. I think I'm going to add one to both of our lists.
Okay.
Because you recently played it and it totally started off the weekend well. Hey, Mr. DJ.
Jeanne.
Yes. You can get me started. It's so good.
Yeah, again, and I guess I really am sometimes speaking specifically to any millennials who are listening to our show. Thanks for listening. And
thanks, of course.
I really want you, to go to Spotify and search, Hey, Mr. What's the title of the song? Mr. DJ.
Hey, Mr. DJ.
Hey, Mr. DJ by Jeanne. And that is the song. True story. This past Friday, Amit and I needed something to buoy our spirits. And we blasted that song in our office, and it felt good.
It felt so good, and I felt bad for anybody walking by in the hallway, because there's still people in the office, and I was just singing my heart out at this song. We were still doing work, so the part was is that we could have had a dance party, but we were trying to finish up stuff. So I'm like singing to my computer screen. Sean's behind me singing to his computer screen. And I'm just like, this is still great. It's still the best way to just finish up this day.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
And when you're in a creative profession the way we are, that is somewhat acceptable.
Yes.
But again, that lyric, Friday night and the weekend's here.
I need to unwind. Where's the party?
Mr. DJ.
I'm ready to call my friends. Okay, we shouldn't just speak the words, although it'd be really good spoken word poetry.
Amita, thank you so much for recommending this topic. This was so much.
You're
feel hyped.
So much.
I literally feel like I'm a little bit more extra and turned up than I usually am. But just talking about these songs has given me some life, as the kids say.
Yes, that's the point. Like, that's the other thing. Like, please tweet us at Pop Insiders. Let us know what your hype song is. And if you don't even want to tweet, if you don't like tweeting, fine. Go talk to your friends about your hype song. I think that we've just proven that you'll get hype no matter what. So go do it. Make your list. You're welcome.
All right. Well, we're going to change topics now. And we're going to talk about a couple of big, big stories that involve women in film. So in a moment, we're going to talk about the Alamo Drafthouse's decision to host women-only screenings of Wonder Woman. But first, we're going to talk about big news out of Cannes. The Cannes Film Festival has been held for the past 2 weeks, and they just announced on Sunday the winner of the Best Director. And the winner was Sofia Coppola for her film The Beguiled. And Sofia Coppola became the first woman since 1993 to win Best Director. Jane Campion won in 1993 for The Piano. And so that means that Sofia Coppola is only the second woman to win Best Director in 71 years. Kind of crazy.
That's
so,
like, really crazy.
I've been following the Cannes Film Festival on the internet every day. I would love to go there someday. I'm all into it.
Me too.
And I've been reading a lot of reviews of The Beguiled before it won, and there were a couple of positive reviews, but there were also a number of negative to mixed reviews. You know, so for example, Owen Gleiberman, I think Variety, wrote, Coppola, in attempting to elevate the material, doesn't seem to realize that The Beguiled is and always was a pulp psychodrama. Now it's pulp with the juice squeezed out.
Ooh.
Yeah, harsh.
Ouch.
So mixed reviews, negative reviews, a couple of positive reviews. So I don't know. I just feel strange that it's long, long, long overdue for women to be recognized across the board in film. Mm-hmm. This seems like a troublesome victory because I just worry that people are going to start shouting, token, win, charity award, and kind of take away from this honor. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Oh, that's so interesting because, you know, when Cannes kind of announces all of their winners, it's the beginning of kind of that, let's start to put these films in people's minds for the potential awards race towards the end of the year. So usually, not always, but usually there's just a few that rise to the top, and something that is honored with a Best Director would probably be one of them. So to hear that, you know, it's got mixed reviews is super interesting. The cast is incredible. You know, Nicole Kidman, Kirsten Dunst, Elle Fanning, Colin Farrell. It's an impressive cast. I just wonder, you know, is it just this critic just didn't love it. Maybe some other ones will.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, one could say, well, Sean, did you just quote a male film critic? And yes, I did. So, you know, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, maybe it is something that, you know, women can connect to it and relate to it in a way that men can't. It's interesting. The jury was composed of Pedro Almodovar, who was actually the president. He presided over the jury. And, you know, mm-hmm. he's very famous for, he's a out gay male director, but he's famous for directing films about women
mm-hmm.
and their stories. There were some women on the jury. Jessica Chastain, the American actress, who's very outspoken about the importance of fair pay and roles for women. And so I'm going to, you know, obviously this is one where I want to see it for myself. I would see it either way because I do love every single cast member.
Agreed.
Mentioned. And I loved Lost in Translation. I didn't really love Somewhere by Sofia Coppola, but yeah, I'll definitely see it and form my own opinion. But I do. Yeah. So I guess I would say the jury's out. You know, does it deserve that honor? I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we shall. We shall. We'll keep you guys posted. I'm sure whenever it gets released domestically, you know, it might be a movie that we'll be talking about. So stay tuned for that.
Next up, we want to talk about a story kind of connected. It also has to do with women in film. So the Alamo Drafthouse, which is a movie theater chain, that is kind of alternative. They try to do some funky things, and you can eat food there, and they will play new movies and old movies. And they just opened a franchise in Brooklyn, actually, and I've been a couple times, and it's pretty cool. So they just announced that they are going to have a couple of women-only screenings for Wonder Woman. They're saying that they only want people who identify as women to attend this screening. They are going to have only females working that screening, so female ushers, I guess. And they think that to honor Wonder Woman, who is the symbol of female empowerment, they want to do this, right? It was kind of their idea to do something thematic and to also donate money to a female charity. I think it's Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like many things in our modern era, there were some people who praised it and were super happy and excited about it. And there were other people who took to, where else, Twitter, and started to complain about it. So, I read about this, and right away, I thought to myself, I want to hear what Amita has to say about this, and I want to talk about it on the podcast.
Yes.
So, Amita, what do you think about this? No dudes allowed, women only at these couple of screenings. Is it some type of prejudice?
I was wondering what your question was going to be phrased as. I actually don't think so. I think that they are not saying every screening, they're just doing a handful. Proceeds go to a good cause. This is the first big budget movie focused on a female comic book character in more than a decade, and the first movie to be directed by a woman too, by Patty Jenkins. So it's just like, why not celebrate it? You know, we had the Women's March in January, and millions of people came out to celebrate women. I think this is just a way to celebrate women, embrace girl power. Why not? And, you know, we're not trying to say, you know, men don't count or men weren't part of making this film. They probably were. There are men in the film, but I think that it's okay to possibly have women come together and watch this film and feel even more empowered because you're in a room full of women. And that is empowering as a female. When I'm in a room full of women, you know, it is empowering when we're kind of all on the same page about the same thing. Right. And Wonder Woman is something I grew up watching, and I loved her. And the idea of possibly seeing it in a theater with women, it would make me feel awesome. I think it would. And I don't think it needs to be a huge controversy. Unfortunately, we live in a world where everybody has to feel like they can be a critic behind a computer screen or a phone, and that's it. And then, you know, I'm going to say how I feel. But is it that important? does it really matter if you want to have a screening for all men? Go ahead, go do it. Maybe there's going to be some women who complain about it too. I just feel like we're also in a place in the world where everybody needs to complain about something. And I think it's not every screening. It's just a few. Like, just let it be. Support the film.
I think that it reminds me to a much lesser degree. So I'm not equating the two, but I will make the comparison that a lot of white people who say that they don't like the phrase Black Lives Matter. Shouldn't all lives matter? You know, that's what they say. Yes, all lives matter. But guess what? We live in a world where, unfortunately, we have to remind our government and the world that Black lives do matter, even though you like to shoot us a lot.
Yeah. And okay. Then same goes for women. And women's rights do matter. We had to have a march about it. So, like, I think that is a decent comparison. Do you know what I'm saying?
I have a couple of tweets. So one guy tweeted, Alamo Drafthouse, will there be a male-only screening for Thor Ragnarok or a special screening for It that's only for those who identify as clowns? Again, I feel like that's very insulting because, listen, there are a lot of men who take a lot of things for granted. The fact that they can walk down the street and feel safe. The fact that so much of media is created for them. The fact that the world in many ways is laid out for them because they've laid out the world for a good bit. So when you tell them that there's something that they can't do or something that they don't have access to, it upsets them greatly. It upsets them in a really core way. So the people who are upset by this, I love that they're upset by it. But I hope what it does is not just make them angry. I hope for at least a couple of people, it opens up some dialogue. I'm sure there's a back and forth going on Twitter now. But I hope that even for a couple of these people who are initially upset, it's just a little clue into, guess what? We would like just a special moment to ourselves to celebrate something that's particularly special for us. I'll share one story, which is, back in the day when I was playing Anytime, Anyplace, and then going out and, you know, breaking hearts, so many hearts. I would also hang out with this friend of mine. She had just come out as a lesbian, and she loved, and she didn't have any other gay friends. So I would go out with her, and we would have the best time. We'd go out dancing, but I would also go out with her to a number of lesbian bars. And there were sometimes I would go, and I would receive a warm greeting, and people were like, "Oh, that's so cool! You're supporting your little new baby lesbian friend." But there were other times where I was immediately made not to feel welcome, and I was made to feel like an intruder. And initially, I was really pissed off about this. How dare you? I'm here to support my friend. Aren't we all gay? But then I realized, you know what, Sean? This is a space that they want to themselves. And even though I was also gay, they just wanted a space of their own. And then they resented the fact that someone was coming in, no matter how good my intentions were, and invading that space. So I do think that, so obviously I'm on your side, and I want, and I want you to go to one of those women only screenings. I think that would be so cool.
I think they're already sold out.
Oh,
it would be cool.
Yeah.
But, I just feel like, you know, I think the immediate reaction was like, really? Somebody has to complain about this. Oh, right. That's kind of the atmosphere that we live in right now. So I kind of just kind of brushed it off. I think it's awesome. And for all of you guys who have tickets and are going, that's awesome. Have fun, feel empowered, and let us know how it was if you go.
Oh, please do. Please do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Amita. It's time once again for you to join me in the House of Hyperbole.
Oh my gosh, should I take off my shoes this time?
Take off your shoes.
Okay, great.
I have those special little slippers that you can put on to us, you know.
Thank you. Good, thanks.
Mark up the floor. Okay, so for our new listeners, the House of Hyperbole is a very rare segment In the past year and a half, I think we've only had 3 House of Hyperbole segments. It's a rare time when there's something in pop culture that arises that deserves to be placed into Sean's House of Hyperbole. Moonlight, before it won all those awards, was in the House of Hyperbole.
Yes.
Hamilton, House of Hyperbole.
Yes.
And now, Amita, I would like to induct the most erotic scene I have ever experienced on television or film into the House of Hyperbole.
Wow, I cannot wait to hear about this. What is it?
All right, I already have to take a cold shower. All right, so listen. There's a new show that you guys have probably heard of. It's called American Gods. And within the show, there are these interludes. They're really cool. So they're little standalone stories that so far don't seem to have anything to do with the main plot. And in episode 3, there is an interlude called Somewhere in America. So it opens on this very lonely salesman. You can tell that he's kind of burdened by his job. He's kind of super unhappy. And you see him waiting in an office to have a meeting. It's 11 a.m. It's 2 p.m. It's 6 p.m. Finally, 7 p.m. comes, and his meeting never happens, and he leaves. And you can just tell the way this actor plays the role, it's failure again, right? He's unhappy. He's dejected. So he leaves. It's pouring rain. He's drenched. Cabs pass him. He finally catches a cab, hops in a cab, and the cab driver is this guy with these dark sunglasses. And they start talking, and they're both from the Middle East, and they start talking and speaking in Arabic, about where each of them is from. Finally, the cab driver's sunglasses get lowered a little bit, and you basically see that he has fire in his eyes. His eyes are fire. So up until this point, it was kind of very realistic and like, oh, this is like a modern day death of a salesman story. One thing leads to another. They start talking, and basically the cab driver admits that he's a djinn, right? A genie. So one thing leads to another, and they go back to Salim, who is the salesman. They go back to Salim's hotel room, and what happens in that hotel room is graphic, but it's also touching and beautiful and trippy and the most erotic film, erotic footage I've ever seen. And I would say, and I keep saying erotic because there are these just little moments of tenderness that happen. You know, when they ride up in the elevator to the hotel room, Salim kind of very tentatively takes like 2 fingers of the djinn's hand and just kind of holds it. And so it's all very kind of hesitant and, but then finally there is like full on djinn sex and it looks like good sex to have. So it really is remarkable. It's so good. And I've watched the scene a couple of times perhaps. So I just want to give shout out to the actor who plays Salim, who reminds me a little bit of Riz Ahmed. He's kind of like a more humble looking Riz Ahmed.
Way to try to get me, reeling you in, Amita.
Also, shout out to the executive producers Brian Fuller and Michael Green, and the director. I don't know if those men are gay or straight, but I think they've created one of the most beautiful depictions of gay male romance and sex I've ever seen. You should watch this, Amita.
Oh, Sean. I did.
Oh my gosh, this is a surprise.
I was just like waiting and waiting and waiting. Okay. You talked about this at length with me earlier.
Yeah.
And then I saw that you wanted to talk about it in this episode, and it was an entry into the House of Hyperbole. And I said, there's no way that we can have this conversation without me really knowing what this is. And thank God I pay for a full cable package and have Stars on Demand.
I didn't know that.
For me to find this scene.
Talk to me.
Surprise, Sean. And yes, it's a pretty erotic scene.
Does it deserve a place in the House of Hyperbole.
I believe so. I totally believe so. Yes. Yeah. It's and I think for the reasons that you said, like, it, there was that moment of tenderness. And the actor, his name is Omid Abtahi, I mm-hmm. think that's how you say it. He is, sorry, no Riz Ahmed, but he has this innocence and kind of vulnerability about him in this scene, which I think makes it not just feel like a raunchy sex scene.
Right.
But, which is what you're saying. So, yeah.
Even when, oh my God, his eyes are so expressive. Mm. In that first half of it, even when he smiles, his eyes are just so incredibly sad. Such an evocative performance. And you know what I wish for every good person out there? I wish that for every good person in the world, that there's some day that you're having a bad day, you hail a cab, you're picked up by a djinn, and you go back to a hotel room and you have some djinn sex, because I think every good person deserves that.
I've got to go. It's raining out here in New York right
now. It is raining.
I need to go hail a cab. I've got to go. Bye.
I tweeted about the scene once, and my hashtag was gin and tonic, which I was very proud of. But I think I'm going to create a cocktail called gin and tonic, and it'll be all about that scene.
I love it.
Well, Amita, thank you for watching that scene so that we could discuss it. That makes me happy.
I aim to please Sean, and I knew it would make you happy. And I couldn't get over how much you really loved it, so I had to see what this is all about.
So much.
Oh, my God.
Okay, one day on some future episode, maybe we'll count down our all-time favorite sex scenes in TV and film. Maybe we'll do that someday.
Maybe. I'm going to be blushing the entire time.
Basically, whatever you need to know about my... Never mind.
It's just...
I think it's time to leave the House of Hyperbole. I'm starting to share too much.
My mom listens to this podcast.
I know. You can... yeah. If anyone actually cares about what's really going on in Sean's libido, that scene tells you a lot. That is... That's the last thing I'm going to say. Stop me. Will you please...
Exit... Can we exit the House of Hyperbole then, please?
Not a moment too soon.
Okay, great. All right, well, now it's time for our favorite weekly segment, The Big Sell. This is the segment where Sean and I partake in something in pop culture, and we sell it to the other one. They try it out and give it a rating and a review the following week. So last week, Sean, you sold me on an artist, a British singer-songwriter, no surprise, named Laura Mvula.
Yes.
You gave me two options, two songs. One was the cover of Ready or Not by the Fugees, and another song called Show Me Love. Or you said I should just listen to the entire album she recently put out last year.
Option two.
Option two is what I took. And I appreciate you, and I thank you for Laura Mvula. I think we discussed this last week that I thought I had been familiar with her.
Mm-hmm.
I was, because I started listening to some of her music, and there was one song. So when I put on The Dreaming Room, which is the album, sometimes when you just put it on and you just make it shuffle, it just kind of starts to go into other songs that she's sung, but they're not on the album. It's a little tricky for me, but there's a song called Work For Me.
Mm-hmm.
Which I did hear before, and I love it. And I love her voice. It has like this great Shirley Bassey,
yes,
Amy Winehouse type of feel. And I thought it has such like depth to it and soul, which you know I love. So I thought she was, you know, she's great. Thank you. Thank you again for selling me on this album. I think I loved her Ready or Not. Like you said, it was a different take on that. And then there was another song that I really, really liked. Renaissance Moon. I really enjoyed on her album. I don't know if you remember that one, but I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I need to listen to it a lot more. I love it. It's in heavy rotation. The song titles aren't exactly in my head, though.
That's okay.
But I'm so I thought you would. I was hoping that you'd like it. I was pretty sure that you would, because she does have a lot of the qualities you like in a singer. And I think your Shirley Bassey comparison is spot on. So, yeah.
Thanks.
Big, big, big full voice. And the thing I like about her is she's got this big, big, big voice, but doesn't always have to belt. Sometimes she brings it down.
Yeah.
And it's all about the execution of the notes or whatever, as opposed to just I'm going to blow you away all the time, which is something I really love in singers. You know, Whitney Houston, I was just listening to a Whitney Houston song the other day, and maybe it was Shoop from Waiting to Exhale. And I love that song because she could bellow every single note if she wanted to, but it was just so much more kind of controlled and anyway, tangent, but that's what I like. One of the things I like about Laura Mavula. So, oh, great.
Yeah, she, again, when I was doing that, playing a bunch of her songs and got into some other recordings of hers that weren't from the album, came across a BBC Live version of Magic by Coldplay that she did.
Ooh, interesting. Which,
yeah, and I really enjoyed that song and I enjoyed her rendition of it. And it's that it was her being like not as big and bold with her voice. Because that's not how that song goes. So, yeah, yeah, thank you.
And then one quick tangent. It has only come to my attention, I would say in the past 3 to 5 months, that I try to control Amita sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So people...
Sometimes.
Oh, my God. So it's something that I've realized, and I'm working on that. Because I almost said, because when you said, oh, I listened to the album and it was on shuffle, I almost stopped the podcast and was like, woman, listen to that the way the artist meant it to be from start to finish. But look, I did not say that. And I wanted you to have your own experience, even if it's not exactly how I would do it. So look at these strides I'm making, Amita. I'm trying to stop myself from controlling the way you consume pop culture.
No, but you have controlled the way you consume pop culture because you were in my head when I realized that I was not listening to the album beginning to end. And I was like, what is this magic? Oh, is this a song full of, this is an album full of covers? Let me look. I was like, oh, this isn't the album. Sean's going to be mad at me. Let me go back to the album and listen to it from beginning to end.
It's for the best.
But then I would have never heard Magic.
That's true. I really need... Sean, let loosen up. Stop it. Just... Okay. Let's get back on...
Go watch some American Gods, play some Golden, and get out of your head.
Ooh, we're learning a lot. Okay. So, well, I'm so excited that you enjoy Laura Mavula and that you'll probably continue to enjoy her. What is the rating you would like to bestow upon last week's Big Sell?
I would like to give her 3.25 stars.
Accepted.
I mean, there's no denial here when it comes to the Big Sell, but great.
Everything
glad
must
you
be accepted.
That.
That's exciting. I'm so excited. And I'm also excited to hear what you have to Big Sell to me this week.
So my Big Sell is another music Big Sell, and I'm going to do something slightly similar to what you did last week for Laura Mavula. I came across this artist on, I believe, on my Discover Weekly, and he is this younger, up-and-coming artist that has this super old feel to him. And I'm going to take a tangent before I say who he is, because I think this past year has been really great for music and television and soundtracks. You know, I think that Luke Cage, we both love that series, but the music of Luke Cage and the artists in every episode that performed were really a great device that they used in the show. And Big Little Lies, also the soundtrack for that series was incredible and people still talk about it. Yep. And they have such interesting artists on both of those soundtracks. Little known fact, there's one artist on both of them, and his name's Charles Bradley. And he did a really great performance in Luke Cage called Ain't It a Sin. And I loved his voice. He has this great funk soul, James Brown-esque persona and voice. And it's really nice to hear that again. You know, rest in peace, James Brown. And loved his raspy, kind of hard soul that he gave. So I think because I was listening to some of those things, that's why Discover Weekly gave me this artist, Earl St. Clair. And Earl St. Clair is my big sell to you because he has a very similar older feeling, but he's not old. To be completely blunt, he's younger. I think he might not even be 30 yet. So it's kind of impressive that he has such age in his voice, in my opinion. And I wanted to big sell him to you. So I'm going to give you a couple songs that were just like one-off singles, and then would love for you to listen to his actual EP.
And should I listen to that EP on shuffle or in the order it was intended?
Here we go. You can listen to it in the order it was intended. I will allow it.
I am the worst.
And I don't think you can do anything else. So he came out with a couple singles last year. One is called Man on Fire, and the other one is called Good Time. And I think what I love about him is because he is younger, there are some interesting fusion of like hip hop and pop in there as well, and dance a little bit. Man on Fire is what I got really turned on to for him. And then Good Time was a really fun track. And his EP is called, appropriately so, My Name is Earl.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right. I'm excited to hear this. Yeah. You know, because I really loved Leon Bridges, who's another young guy who sounds old timey. So I look forward to this Earl guy. Sorry, what's his name?
Earl St. Clair. Good name.
I look forward to hearing Earl St. Clair.
Good. I hope you enjoy him. We'll find out next week.
Well, that's it for our show. So be sure to stay in touch with us via Twitter and Instagram throughout the week. You can find us at Pop Insiders.
And head over to InsidePopPodcast.com to listen to older episodes, check out bonus content, find out a little bit more about us, and of course, all importantly, subscribe to our podcast.
And if you are on the big mothership, iTunes, feel free to rate and review our episode. That helps us a lot. It helps other people find our great podcast, and we would definitely appreciate that.
Yeah, and stay tuned in the next couple weeks. We have a big, huge, to quote Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman, huge announcement. Yeah. That's all I'm going to say.
That's right. It's a big, big announcement that we are looking so forward to sharing with you guys. But until then, we want you guys to have a great week. We will hopefully be back next week with our review of Wonder Woman.
Yes, fingers crossed. I'm going to try to see it this weekend, y'all. I cannot wait. Let's just hope my schedule allows.
So until then, have a great week, and we'll see you then.
Bye, y'all.